We're studying the high priestly prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ, and my prayer is that we will see, in fact, what we just sung, beautiful Savior, Son of God and Son of Man, as he here prays. Let's turn to John chapter 17. We continue study. We started last Lord's Day when we considered the first five verses. So we will pick up at verse 6 as we read through to verse 12. John chapter 17, reading from verse 6 through to verse 12. Jesus continues in his prayer, I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them, that is the 11. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I've guarded them, and not one of them has been lost, except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. This is the word of God. We're considering the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of Man. That is, as the Son of Man in his state of humiliation and humanity. And Jesus prays in the presence, as we noted last week, of his disciples, and primarily for the 11. And we observed last Lord's Day that it was the fact that Jesus' hour had now come, that hour he's been speaking about for so long, that prompted this prayer. And this prayer, and Christ continues to instruct his disciples in this prayer as the upper room discourse is closed out. And you may remember the primary and overarching petition of this prayer is that in response to all of the work that the Savior has completed, all of the work that the Father gave him to do and will be completed soon as he goes to the cross, this is the petition that the Father would now glorify the Son. And that petition runs throughout this prayer in spite of all the other petitions that Christ prays. We noted all authority has been given to him. And how does he exercise that authority? First and foremost, he gives eternal life to his people by his sovereign and gracious election in eternity. We see the beauty and the unity of the Godhead as Christ throughout his life and by his perfect and sinless life and obedient life brought glory to the Father. And even here in Christ's petition, the time has come, glorify the Son. What is it? That the Son may glorify you. Glorify the Son, that the Son may glorify you. Noted this was the high priestly prayer. For Christ prays not only for the 11, but even as we read, for all those that the Father has given to him. And Christ continues to represent all his people there at his Father's throne as prophet and priest and king in his exalted state in heaven, ever living to make intercession for them as prophet, priest, and king until all is fulfilled and appear before the judgment seat at the end of the age. But I want us to think just for a moment about Christ praying. And Christ's prayer on earth, and where Christ is now, to think biblically about Christ's prayers on earth as the Son of Man and his continued intercession in heaven for his church. Remember, Christ is restored to his former glory. In heaven, he is the eternal Son of God and Son of Man. The glory that he had laid aside for a time in heaven when he took on humanity has been restored to him. And not only that, but he's been given the name that is above every name. And so the question is, does Christ pray in heaven? Well, Christ does not pray in heaven as we would imagine, or as he did on earth in his humiliation. For God doesn't pray to God. He is God. And as the Son of Man, our Lord prayed, always appealing to the words and the works that the Father gave him to do. And his work as priest and mediator between God and man continues to be applied until he will present his church pure and spotless before the Father as his glory and as his glorified bride. Listen to this quote. Pastor Rick had a quote today. I have one quote, so listen to this quote by John Gill. Praying as attributed to Christ must be restrained to his state of humiliation. Prayer is never spoken of Christ but while he was here on earth. His intercession in heaven is never expressed by prayer. And that's why I said God does not pray to God. And the saints, when they come hither, will have been done praying. Christ, while on earth, was an excellent pattern of prayer, of private solitary prayer, of social prayer, for and with his disciples, of frequent and fervent prayer, of submission to the will of God in prayer, and of praying even for his enemies. The persons he is here said to pray for are his apostles, which shows their dangers and their wants, his care over them, his concerns for them, and his love unto them. Well, we'll see this as we develop and look at this portion before us. The high priestly prayer is in a sense to show us how we ought to pray aright, and to show us what God has in store for those who are carried by our great high priest into the very throne room of God. In our study today, we consider what Christ prayed for the 11 and for his church. We will see what Christ's work means for his people and how he acts as mediator and priest in heaven perpetually for all his people until the end of the age. That's what we hope to achieve. And we have three main points we want to consider from our text with relevant application as we go along. We observe in the first place, number one, Christ reveals the Father to his own. Christ reveals the Father to his own. Look at with me at verse 6 to 8. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you, for I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them, and they have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. While we acknowledge this prayer, and especially the part of the portion we read today, was a prayer primarily for the 11. We have noted that many things before us here pertain to Christ's prayer on earth, also for all of the elect, all those given to him by the Father, and for those whose sins he died on the cross. These things remain the perpetual intercession of our Savior before the Father as our great high priest and mediator before God. Verse 6 is one such case, for the Father gave to the 11 to Christ, and not one is lost except Judas, the son of destruction. So this text is clearly much larger. Christ revealed the Father to the 11, those given by God to Christ, and all those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, his church, And that is what Christ does in heaven and continues to do until he comes. He reveals the Father to his people, a people from every language, tribe, and nation, a people chosen by God in love before the foundation of the world. And Christ continues to use his own appointed means, his own word, through the Spirit, by the new birth, to reveal to the Father those for whom he died, gifted to him by the Father. As none of the 11 were lost, but are now beholding his glory with the Father, so not even one of those the Father, of all those the Father gave to him, will be lost. Brothers and sisters, that is you and me, because Christ's work continues as mediator to reveal the Father to us, to reveal the Father to all of those God gave him, who chose them in love before the foundation of the earth. And Christ, our high priest, guarantees the eternal security of all those who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You recall from our text last week, verse 3, "And this is eternal life, that you know, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So this prayer uttered by the Son of Man while on earth continues to be answered in heaven. And Christ continues to reveal himself and the Father to all those for whom he died. Brothers and sisters and friends sitting here today, how will the Father be revealed to me? How will Christ reveal himself to me? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is still by the work of the Spirit, who breathes upon the word and brings the truth to life. And brothers and sisters, this is a blessed doctrine confirmed for us here and throughout all the scriptures. Christ, who protected his disciples, and he has already brought them to glory, will do the same for every one of his children, for every child God has given him. For this is his prayer, this is his word, and this is his covenant with the Father before the world began. Christ's word and work is and can only be eternally effective. And if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be with him one day. He will, as he desires, as we see in this prayer, "I desire that they will be with me where I am, that they will see the glory I had with you before the world began." And Christ today, brothers and sisters, 2,000 years later, continues his work through his word and by the power of his own Spirit. He reveals the Father to us, the nature and the perfections of God, his holiness, his grace, his love, his justice, and the mercy of God as it is shown and revealed to us and expressed even in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ continues as Lord and Savior to give eternal life to those that the Father has drawn to Christ by his electing life. I have manifested your name to the people you gave me out of the world. That is what our mediator does in heaven perpetually until he comes. Secondly, we have in the second place, what else does Christ do for us in heaven? What is his work there? Number two, Christ brings the name of his own into his Father's presence. We just saw how Moses, with fear and trembling, the whole mountain shook, went into the cloud where God's glory was. There was fear and trembling. God warned them, "Don't even let the people come near the mountain. Only you." And then who else? Aaron, the high priest. The high priest goes up onto the mountain. Verse 9 and 10, "I am praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All are mine, and mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them." Brothers and sisters, here's a beautiful picture. As Christ comes, as Christ is glorified after his ascension, comes before the Father as an intercessor and presents his own people as well as himself. And this reminds us of the word of prophecy spoken long ago. In Isaiah 8 and verse 18 we read, "Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are signs and portents in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells in Mount Zion." So Christ entering glory, so Christ going there before his Father's throne, restored to the glory that he had, given the name above all, does not come empty-handed. He comes with the names of his people before God's throne. And this verse, by the way, is quoted again in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 12. Christ, as the high priest of his people, was a fulfillment of that strikingly foreshadowed by the high priest Aaron. We read in Exodus 28, listen to this, and verse 29, "So Aaron shall bear the names of the sons of Israel in the breastpiece of judgment on his heart when he goes into the holy place to bring them in regular remembrance before the Lord." And we noted in our scripture reading today, it is Aaron, the high priest, who is invited to the mountain. Brothers and sisters, do you see it? So Christ, on the grounds of his finished work, our great high priest, entered the presence of the Father when he was ascended and glorified, bearing our names on his heart and on his hands. You say, what is the Father interceding? What is the Son of God doing for me? He bears our names continually before the Father. And it is for this that Christ was glorified. As we saw last week, "I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory I had before the world existed." That is how our Savior ever lives to intercede for us. The work is done. The ransom is paid. Our names are written on his hands. The great transaction's done, and the glorified Christ is our surety. And we will see Christ's praise, that these 11 and all the Father had given him will come to be with him. Another prayer that is answered, yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Verse 24, sneak ahead to verse 24 of this chapter near the end. "Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with you where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world." Brothers and sisters, all Christ prayed in this prayer was heard and answered. Christ's prayer and desire for his people is already yea and amen. All things have been given to him. Christ is in heaven. As the mediator and high priest, he bears the names of his people on his heart and on his hands, as Aaron did, but effectively and perfectly, to bring to their regular remembrance before the Lord. To bring their names, regular remembrance before the Lord. And you may say, does the Lord need reminding? God does not need reminding, but we do. But we do. Therefore, believers are urged to pray without ceasing. Therefore, believers are to remain in his word and to remain in prayers and in the singing of praises, especially on his day as he commanded us. Therefore, believers are to come to this table. Do this in remembrance of me. a perpetual reminder of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sit down with Christ and sup with him. This bread, his body. This cup, his blood, the blood of the new covenant. My sins are forgiven. My name is written on his heart and on his hands, and he bears my name as mediator and high priest before the Father in heaven. And he desires that I will be with him, each one of us, his children. What a blessed truth, brothers and sisters. What do we do? What is our response? Therefore, draw near. Therefore, draw near. Come, come and worship God. Come and sit around his table. Come and pray as Christ did. Come with full confidence that he is in heaven and I am earth, and I cannot believe it because of my sin and my faithlessness. But it is done. It is done. The ransom is paid, and he bears my name before the Father for all time. Let us draw near. This brings us to the third and final place to consider the effect and benefit of Christ's intercession as high priest, bearing our names perpetually before the Father. This is number three. Christ values, protects, and keeps his own. Christ values, protects, and keeps his own. We have two sub-points, two short sub-points here. Number one, Christ values his own. And this is something that I battle to wrap my head around. Christ values his people. All that we see in the high priestly prayer of Christ points to this fact. Though glorified in heaven, though King of kings and Lord of all, he does not forget the gift of his Father to him. The church is precious to Christ. He lived and died, was buried, and rose again for them, for us, that we might live. For the weak, vulnerable, sinful disciples, Christ in this prayer speaks kindly of them. And you want to think about the disciples? Impulsive Peter, poor faith, jumping out of a boat, we read this morning, and then sinking because his faith got weak. Peter, who denied Christ three times right after this. And Christ speaks highly of them, not drawing attention to their shortcomings, their failures, their lack of faith or sin, which the gospel makes clear is there, as we know our own hearts also. Our King and High Priest loves his church, and he values each one of us. This is so hard to grasp. Verse 8, verse 6b says, yours they were. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Yeah, there was Thomas who doubted. No, Jesus says of them, not their weaknesses. He says, they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me. They've received them. And they've come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. This is what Christ prays to his fathers. These were yours, they now mine. I value them. They are precious to me. I died for them, each one. At verse 10, Jesus says also, all are mine, yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Christ is glorified in these weak disciples. Christ is glorified in his weak, sinful church. They have received and kept your word. They have believed in truth that I came from you, and I am glorified in them. Brothers and sisters, there's a huge application here. Value your brothers and sisters. Christ values the church. Christ loves the church, our sin and shortcomings and our failures. And why does he? Because he died for us, for every sin, for every blemish. We've been redeemed. We've been ransomed. We belong to Him. He loves us and values us. And He looks forward to the day where He can brag about us, that they can see my glory I have with you, and they will be glorified with me. Brothers and sisters, love one another deeply from the heart, as Christ values you and loves you. It is this, above all things. Christ says this. It is this one thing above all things, that the world might know that you are my disciples. If there's squabbling in the church, and backbiting, and gossip, and envy, and malice, Christ values the church. If we love one another, Christ places great value upon us as His people. Boast before the Father, as it were, of the value that we are to Him because of His blood, because of His grace. Look at them. They keep my word. They believe in truth that I came from you. I am glorified in them. Brothers and sisters, how quick we are to find fault. How easily we criticize. How quickly we see that speck in our brother or our sister's eye the minute it appears. Yet we see our Savior value and love His people washed in His blood, redeemed from sin and death and hell. And He loves us, He values us, and speaks kindly of us before the Father. This makes us ashamed. I can't wrap my head around this, but what joy and grace it is to be loved, to be forgiven as a wretched worm, and what glory awaits us one day when we see Him and we will be like Him. I wrote this verse down before I knew this was our scripture text for today. Genesis 19, another prophecy, verse 5 and 6. Now therefore indeed, if you obey my voice and keep covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples. This is gospel grace. For Israel was not that. This is the true Israel. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to Israel. These are the words that Christ bears at the Father's throne. Here's my kingdom of priests. Here's my holy nation. I love them. I value them. I died for them. You gave them to me. They are yours and they are mine. I desire that they be with me. I desire that they are one with us. Not only does Christ value His own, but secondly and finally, Christ protects and keeps His own. Christ protects and keeps His own. Read with me verses 11 and 12, the last two verses of our text today. I am no longer in the world. Christ talks as though it's done, and He has the hardest part before Him. But they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, the 11, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Brothers and sisters, this is what Christ's prayer on earth and His mediation and His intercession in heaven accomplishes for all His people until He comes and brings us to Himself. Christ protects His own. Peter was about to deny Christ three times, but Christ restored him and prayed for him so that Satan's sifting of him would be proved worthless, and his faith did not fail. Thomas doubted Christ's very resurrection, but his faith was strengthened as Christ deals gently with him and assures his heart. Brothers and sisters, Christ taught us to pray, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil," because He does just that. Satan would tear us apart like a roaring lion, but God protects us from him. Temptations at times will overcome us, and the Savior provides a way of escape. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. He protects and guards us by giving us his word and his spirit and the means of grace in the church and the fellowship of the saints. What do we have to do? Use them. Just use them. Come to the means of grace. When faced by temptation, go to his word. You have overcome. He is in heaven. We will be presented perfect and pure here on earth. When we face temptation, we go to his word. Here on earth, when we pray, the Spirit prays and groans on our behalf. Here on earth, when we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. We confess our sin, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Yes, the world hates us, and the world, our own flesh, and our remaining sin, and the devil would have us abandon and turn from Christ every day. But Christ protects and keeps his own. We persevere because Christ preserves us. And he acts as mediator in heaven every day. And he makes his word effective in us. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one just as we are one. Brothers and sisters, this is our confidence. This is our Savior who values us. This is our Savior who values, protects, and keeps his own. This is our Savior who will bring us to glory. For this is what he desires for us. To see him in all his glory. To be one with him and with the Father as they are one. And this alone is our surety. Christ and Christ alone. Brothers and sisters, there are wonderful, great promises here. Christ values his people and he has given everything we need for life and godliness. He's given us the means. He's given us his spirit. He's given us the word. He's given us the table. He's given us the fellowship of believers. Use them. Use them. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Christ values and protects his own. He expressed this in Romans through the Spirit, as Paul writes there in verse 38 and 39. Paul saw this. Paul was convinced of this. And he writes, by the Holy Spirit, for I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present or things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. This is the high priestly prayer. Let us worship him and glorify his name, for he is already glorified. But the church is his glory. And so let us glorify him as we come to this table. And are reminded that we are to love one another as Christ loved us, valued us, guards us, protects us, and keeps us until he come. Amen.